Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. We're in Romans chapter 13 in this episode. We finished up chapter 12 in the previous episode as we reflected on some of the beautiful characteristics and attributes of the Christian life as Paul expressed them in very simple and relatable terms. We didn't go into a lot of detail of definition, more than just a devotional reflection there of what the community life of the individual in the body of Christ looks like, and the attitudes and the motivations and the personal disposition of the heart regarding how we relate to one another and to the world. And so that was just a more of a devotional reflection time to finish up chapter 12. We're going to move into chapter 13. It is an interesting chapter. Unfortunately, it's a chapter that's probably been maybe a bit misinterpreted. I'm going to attempt to kind of decipher through some of the reasons why that's the case. One reason is because if you have an English Bible, which obviously all of the listeners will be reading on English Bibles, the English Bibles put section headings or paragraph headings in the actual printed Bible that are not part of the original text of the Bible. Obviously, you know that. There's headings that are in bold print. And a lot of times the translators will inject some biased or definitely some opinions about what that paragraph or section is pertaining to in regards to its subject matter in order to kind of help the reader of the Bible get a flow for what they're reading. In this case, my Bible says, as a heading to chapter 13 in bold italics, be subject to government. And so as a result, this passage automatically puts us into a perspective because of the heading that Paul's going to start talking about government. Well, I'm going to read the passage first, and let's go through and make some interpretive comments. And I'm going to maybe challenge the hard line interpretation of this passage being only about government and all the implications of that. We won't be able to get into all of it in this episode, but I do want to touch on some of these points because, again, I think it's important to understand Paul's perspective and then how it applies to our actual daily living. Let me read chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. Therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Okay, so let's go through and talk about Paul's discussion here. I'm going to contend that there's a bit of a interpretive issue in regarding seeing this passage only as a passage of government in the sense that the modern day reader understands government. Now, obviously, there have been governments in place for millennium, and Paul was writing the book of Romans in an era where the Roman government was obviously the ruling government, what I would call the ruling authorities of his day. But with that said, I don't believe that Paul's initial comments in chapter 13 were meant to go straight to the topic of government as we understand it. If you do a simple word study in the Greek, you won't find that there is a word that means government as we understand it as the organized political system of a society in order to give guidance and direction in the society in regards to rules and regulations. There are a couple of words that are used throughout the scripture to make allusion and to kind of connect to that idea, but there is not one word that Paul implements that means government. So what I believe he does when he starts this chapter is he makes these initial statements in verses 1 and 2. I'm just going to go through them quickly again. He says, every soul or every person is to be subjected, is to come up under. It's the word hupotasso. It means to subject oneself or to come up under it. It's a traditional word for submission, and it's a good word. It's a proper word. It's a word that Paul uses and other biblical writers use a lot, and it's the heart posture of being submitted. And he says that they are to be in subjection to the governing authorities. Well, literally what those words mean is they literally mean those that are in a superior place of authority. It really is not a reference to government as far as elected officials. It's a general statement that Paul begins to highlight the fact that God has established the concept of authority. Now, we know that all authority is from God. That's exactly what Paul says here. There is no authority except that which comes from God. So God has all authority. That shouldn't surprise us. Jesus himself said, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Then he delegates his authority to people as God ordains it. No person or institution inherently in themselves has authority. You remember what Jesus said to Pilate when Pilate told him that he had authority to have him killed. And Jesus says, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. So Jesus is actually validating exactly what Paul is saying here, or vice versa. Paul's drawing the point that there's no authority except that authority which is established by God. That's not necessarily just governmental authority. There are other realms in which authority operates. There's authority within the family structure. There's authority within the body of Christ. There is a reality of authority that Paul's simply saying, where there is authority, every person should bring themselves up under that authority in submission and not be found in opposition. Because he says, if you are found in opposition to any form of authority in and around you, then you will bring condemnation on yourself. In other words, you'll put yourself in not good standing with whatever situation you're flowing in. I give the example all the time that in ministry, I move in and out of many different settings, and it's a necessary skill, a discernment in the spirit skill, that we recognize when we are in settings of ministry, the body of Christ, that we recognize who has authority. God has established authority. Quite simply, when I walk into a fellowship of believers, I recognize who in that setting has authority. Yes, Jesus has ultimate authority, and we should all submit to his authority as the head. But there is functional authority many times in place, and I submit to that authority. And it's not a putting down or some kind of unhealthy submission. It's a recognition that God has established authority so that there would be proper order and proper blessing that flows in that setting. So I believe the first two verses of this chapter, Paul's making some general statements about the nature of authority. He's not saying government necessarily as elected officials that are ruling in society. He's just saying that the structure, if you will, of authority is a reality that's been established by God, and that every believer should recognize it, and they should come into submission to authority when they encounter authority. And that's the way that God desires for authority to work. Now, there's more details maybe we could talk about on a practical level, but let's just stay with Paul's discussion here. Then in verse 3, I believe he begins to zero in his discussion on the issue of rulers. He uses a different word here, and he says, verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Now, he's going to take up the idea of rulers in the context of rulers in society. Now, I believe his discussion is zeroing in a little more specifically in government. And he makes a couple specific statements, no more, no less. He simply says that if you're in an environment where there are rulers, which we're all living in that environment in some measure, anywhere in the world we find ourselves, there's very few places in the world you can go that there's not some type of established ruler system. That would be now government. He says rulers are not a reason to fear if you are doing the right thing. He says you fear them if you do evil. So what he's saying is if you're going to be a lawbreaker and you're going to do the opposite of what the rulers have established as good and right for the society, then you have very good reason to fear, because God has established them in order to rule justly. Now, I know there's a big ethical discussion that comes into play of what do we do when governments are not ruling ethically. Without going into all the details of that discussion, let me just simply say, I believe in Paul's understanding, he's saying that ideally, government should establish rules and regulations for the betterment of the society. And when they do that, you simply come up under that. And you don't fear them, because if you do right, then you have no reason to fear. If you do evil, you would have reason to fear, because God now has established that authority to bring about justice. He uses the word wrath there. Not that they're going to slam over you in some type of anger and outrage. No, they're going to bring just consequences for evil actions. And Paul says that's why they're established. And so Paul says in verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not just because of wrath, but for conscience sake, that you would have a good conscience by doing what the rulers around you expect for you to do as a law-abiding citizen. I think that's the gist of Paul's discussion. Now, where it comes in to whether rulers are trying to force people to do something that's ungodly, I think you have to go back, for example, in the book of Acts, where Peter and John are told they should not preach the gospel, and they tell the rulers of that time, well, whatever seems right to you, that's fine, but we have to obey God. So Christians can choose to obey God over the command of the ruling authorities to do something contrary to the will of God, not contrary to the rule of law. There are laws in place that make common sense, and Christians don't have the right to overstep those bounds just for the sake of their conviction, but they do have the right and the opportunity to choose to obey God contrary to the ruler's edict if it violates, I believe, the will and the directive of God's heart and his mandate for Christians to live at the standard that they're called to live by. But they can do that in all humility, recognizing that there will be a consequence. So simply put, I believe Paul's saying, let governments be governments, and you do the right thing as it applies to government, but also obey the Lord. So that's God's design in this whole interaction with authority. I think it's interesting that Paul goes on to say, render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. A lot of people want to take up issue with, quote, obeying what the government mandates. I'm thinking in specifically what happened during the COVID epidemic. when governments began to make strong decisions around the world about who could gather and who could not gather, and Christians became very upset about that. And I'm not going to go into offering a specific opinion about exactly how Christians need to respond to that or not. I do have some opinion about it, but I think that's a secondary issue. But I want to stay with the text. What does Paul say? Paul's saying, if there's tax to be rendered, pay your taxes. If there's customs, pay your customs. What is he saying? He's saying if there is something that government is telling you to do, then just do it and don't make it a big deal. I mean, we shouldn't go around saying we're not going to pay taxes any more than we should go around and saying we're not going to wear a mask if government tells us to do it. It's very simple when you understand the principles of authority to submit to authority, knowing that in that submission, there's a blessing. You're not violating anything in yourself unless there's something in your heart that you're trying to preserve by way of pride or by way of rebellion. And the Lord says, don't have that in your heart. It's simple. If the ruling authorities say, just do this for the betterment of the society, this is what we've decided, Christians can simply go along with that because they can choose to submit. See, submission is always a choice. And this is why Paul exhorts us, make the right choice. Bring your will into submission to authority that's around you, not in a way that violates God's moral law or God's right or wrong. That's not what this is about. This is about having the right posture toward authority that's established in any setting. And when it comes to government, specifically in regards to doing good and evil in society and just obeying by the laws of the land, paying taxes, paying custom, giving honor, recognizing that God is the one that establishes authority for the blessing of people. So we're just going to end the episode here. I recognize we've not answered every question regarding a believer's posture toward government. That's a discussion that's always ongoing. But I believe that if we listen to Paul's instruction and really think about what he's communicating here, he's not communicating a submission that compromises the ways of God. He's simply saying, recognize that God establishes authority. There is good in it. We can recognize that good. And as believers, we can be blessed as we have the right attitude and perspective toward it. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.